Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
I don't think... I mean, first off, I know you don't like kids, but I think a murderer, I don't know if you could actually get behind in reality. But I don't think you could date another narcissist. I don't think that your relationship, I truly think the town wouldn't be big enough for the two of you.
I think we're narcissists in different ways. I think we'd form one bigger, greater narcissist. A narcissist union. Like the what? EU. We'd start a narcissistic Euro.
More power to you.
I don't know. I don't support.
You don't support child murder?
I don't support what she did.
Yeah.
Emotionally, it doesn't bother me.
That's
if I think
insane.
About it, I don't really feel anything about it at all.
That's insane. That's I know you're a sociopath.
Well, she's kind of hot, so.
And?
Her hotness, what I feel from how I think how she looks is greater than the whatever feeling I have about her murdering the child. I just don't really feel anything about that.
You're an insane person.
Everyone's like, yeah, she's a monster. Every time I see her,
she's a monster.
Whatever. She seems nice. Get a beer with her.
She's okay.
Anyways, I was reading the article about her on E-Plus Online. I guess that's Entertainment Online. I was like, oh, hey, she's looking good. And then she's like 39. So in other news, I've upped my dating Bumble profile age like height. The max to 39.
Well, okay. What was it before?
35. I've upped it some. And you always get a little overreach. So now it's like hitting 42s and stuff. But that is solely because I saw Casey Anthony when, oh, she's looking good. Oh, 39. I'm like, oh, that's probably some good looking 40-year-old women out there looking good like Casey Anthony. Maybe I'll find her. Maybe she's a Bumble user.
I'm happy. I hope it works out. I hope it works out for you.
It works out for me and Casey.
No, it works out for you and the 40-year-old woman on Bumble you meet.
Yeah, I hope it works out for you and Casey. No. Just don't have kids.
No, don't have kids. First off, never have children with Casey Anthony in general. Don't have kids with Casey Anthony.
You know, I think, where's she from?
Florida?
Yeah. Good Florida woman. She's moving up. She's in New Hampshire. She's going to hit Canada. She's going to have to come west. Or she'll go east a bit, then hit the coast and start going west. Across the Great Lakes. Into our area.
You're insane. Isn't she from Ohio?
Even better!
Yeah.
You're selling me on Casey
Anthony.
I think the
murder happened in Florida. But I want to say she's from Ohio. I can't find anything, but I know that it took place in, like, Orlando.
Look, to be fair, I am a very firm believer that currently it's unethical to have children.
Sure, yeah.
Adopt.
Yes.
So if anything,
I think she is banned from every adoption list.
I'm not saying she should adopt. I'm saying she kind of, like, balanced out the unethicalness of bringing a child in.
No. Drowning your child... Or taking your child, like, killing your kid does not even out the unethicalness of
bringing... Look, in, like, 10 years...
Two wrongs do not make a right, literally.
In 10 years, everything's going to be so bad. We're going to be seeing, like, kids just offering themselves left and right because they don't want to live in this terrible world that has been given to them. And she's going to be proven correct.
No, she's not.
That kid died in a happy past.
No, she was murdered by her mother. This kid... This is so asinine that I know you believe it for the bit, but I need you to know.
Yeah.
Microphones, whether or not they're on or off, doesn't matter. Killing your kid does not even out having your kid.
Nah, I'm against child. The thing is, like, I'm against child murder, but I'm not particularly moved if you do it. I just don't,
You're insane.
It's just something that doesn't move.
That's wrong.
It's like when I heard about that, like, that nurse that was killing all the babies.
You're...
My only reaction is imagine her, like, peeking over cradles like some sort of gremlin. Like, that was my total emotional sum of that story.
Welcome to the 2 minute movie pod. I'm done.
I decide when we're done talking about child murder and how I feel nothing. Welcome to the 2 minute in the movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't always seen. As always, I'm your morally questionable host, Matthew Olenchek. Pro Casey Anthony, join us always.
Wait, pro like her being alive?
I'm pro her.
As in what?
If I saw her in the streets, I'd go, killing a queen.
That's not morally questionable. That's morally wrong.
Joined as always by my misogynist host, who hates women and their struggle against patriarchal systems, such as the almost an imperial prison, which would be nuts. I guess it is imperial prison. We are an empire. Prison industrial complex. Co-host Harrison Poole, who's also my work husband, which will make him tangentially husband related to Casey Anthony once we get married.
Listen,
by all rights, Cameron should be my best man. I would make you my best man in that marriage because I know that you would hate it the most. I know, like, by making you best man in that, like, Cameron, you would have been my best man, but you have less of an issue with being it than Harrison does. And Harrison's not going to say no.
I'm questioning so many decisions that I've made, of least of all watching this movie, but also, like, what brought us here? What in the last decade did I do to punish me by having this conversation?
All that drinking. The Mormons were right. It's a sin.
Fair.
God sent me and my Casey Anthony loving ways to punish you for all your hooch.
Okay. How are you today outside of Casey Anthony?
I'm doing okay. I mean, there are some pretty fucking smoking MILFs on this round. I was worried. It's also do Facebook dating, which is the worst.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's not even, I think it's the best app.
What's that?
There's not a lot of ads.
Sure.
And when someone swipes you, when someone likes you, you know. It tells you.
Sure.
Which, like, no other dating app does without you paying, like, copious amounts of money, and more once you're like over 24, I think, is the age a lot of the apps will, like, bump up how much they charge you. However, the people on it are by far, like, that's what that you get freaks on that app. And am I like
it's Facebook?
Yeah, it's
Facebook.
You figured that there'd also be another dating apps though.
I would think Facebook would be the worst.
It is let's see, it's like $14 a week.
You pay?
No, for Bumble. I'm just telling you the price.
You pay $14 a week
for Bumble?
I don't
have Bumble Premium.
Oh, okay.
But if you buy 1 month, it's $14 a week. If you buy 3 months, it's $9.33 a week. The best value. So you get 1 month for $60, 3 months for $120, or 1 week for $30.
Well,
I haven't bumped my age up on Facebook dating. I'm terrified of doing that.
Do not. As someone who is friends with a lot of 40-year-old women on Facebook, do not bump up the Facebook your age on Facebook.
There's
dating.
Gonna be. I'm gonna see, like, old clown girls. I'm already seeing the most. Wait. Clown girls I see are on like Facebook.
Sure. Yes.
I guess. I get them on Bumble too.
Sure.
But I feel like I'm going to get, like, old clown girls.
I don't think there are old clown girls.
You think they die young?
No, I think that it's a newish phenomenon. At least on a wide-scale public level.
Yeah, but they're all my age. This is the weird thing. Is like, there's all these new phenomenons, but they're all my age, which means I can't chalk it up to, like, generational differences. Like, oh, it's just that the generation below me got really into clowns, you know? It's like, people my age are suddenly into being clown girls. Like, everyone my age is suddenly into, like, being Polly. Like, 80% of the people, I feel, probably not, it's probably close to, like, 60 or 70% of the people on, like, Bumble are, like, polyamorous. And they're my age. So I'm like, where was this? Where'd it come from? What changed?
I don't know. And it makes me sad. Listen, I don't know. If everyone is on board and everyone, yeah, there's like, constant communication.
I'm like pro, like, whatever. Pro polyamory sounds great. I love the idea of a bunch of people living in a house fucking each other. It just, like, I'm not into that. So it sucks when that's, like, the majority of people on dating apps. That's sure. My only issue with polyamory. Otherwise, hell yeah. Go fuck as many people. They have this weird fucking loving relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Have your romantic orgy.
Have like four people in a bed having passionate, romantic, amateur sex.
Yeah, dude, I don't care. Live your life. Not for me.
They didn't even make an app for it or something, so they all go over there.
I think, I don't know.
Like, we have an app for Amish people, and so I don't have to see them. There's a Christian dating app, but that they're everywhere because we're America, so, and it's like the biggest religion in the world. So
yeah,
there's a lot of people where like the first thing in their profile is just like, "You gotta love God," and I'm like, "Ah, oh, gee, calm down." Like, I have no issue with faith, but like your first thing in your dating profile is like, "You must love Christ." I'm like, "Oh, Jesus Christ."
No, I don't know. I'm not on dating apps. As someone in an interfaith relationship, like, it would be a lot easier if
I just like the
term interfaith,
because I thought of interfaith, right? And I thought it's funny because there's because I went to, like, you know, the probably the most inter thing would be like interracial relationship.
Sure. I'm also in that,
but I immediately imagine like there being a category in Pornhub called interfaith. Oh.
But no, like
CC, BCC, big Catholic.
So anyway, I don't know. It's life would be a lot easier. Easier is the wrong term. I don't know. There is it. If that is important to you, then I totally understand that being important to you. And if that is your key thing, I get it. My faith runs my life in ways that I don't fully comprehend because, like, it's ingrained. I think
if you made a profile, that wouldn't be, like, the first thing in your profile.
No. It would be third or fourth. Like, it would be high up there. My thing is, like, I don't know. I think it was, it's like John Green who says he and his brother, one's an atheist and John's like used to be a pastor in a hospital, like Christian.
Yeah.
And he's like, I care less about where you think the voice in your head is coming from and more about if the voice is saying the same thing. Like, whether the voice is, like, instinct. If a house is on fire and you have the thing in your head saying, get the fuck out of the fire, then it doesn't matter whether that's coming from, like, an instinct human thing or the Lord or, like, if you have a talking smoke alarm. Like, it's...
Like Wilford Brimley.
Yeah. The important thing is that you get the fuck out of the fire.
Is that Wilford Brimley? No, it was what's his name? That guy. Voice to parrot.
Very good. Oh, Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, well, that's Gilbert Gottfried. That's the fucking...
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I care more about that the voice is saying the same. I care more that we have the same moral alignment than we have the same faith alignment. With that being said, to many people, their faith and morals are inextricable, that's the word. Like,
no,
you can't, like,
interchangeable.
Or you can't pull them apart.
Yeah.
You can't separate them. So if that is the thing that is most important to you, I understand that thing being... Because I think what they're saying is that our morals need to align, and this is what moral alignment means to me. I'm also not on the apps, and it would kind of... It wouldn't turn me off, but it would not be
I feel like you're also,
like,
being pretty generous. I feel a lot of those people, at least in our area, aren't so much like, oh, you need to have Christian values so much as, like, you know...
Sure, you need to hate the gays.
You need to be Christian because if you're not Christian, you're bad.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna put my most important... I don't really put a lot of values in mine. I don't like value-driven. Like, I see a profile, it's like, must be kind. I'm like, ugh. But I'm gonna put, like, must think Casey Anthony's hot. Must think Casey Anthony's hot. Must love cockatoo videos.
You are more... Here's the thing. Find someone who finds Casey Anthony hot. I don't care if you find Casey Anthony hot. I don't want someone who is willing to date a child murderer.
Well, I am.
I know.
Speaking of,
like,
that,
I think
the movie this week is Vice, and that's my vice.
Yeah,
child murdering Thotties.
Thotties
with a body.
Yeah, there's a reason we're not together. That this is a deep friendship, but also like a business. Yes, we have a deep personal relationship, and I value this our relationship very deeply. I would never date you. I'm sorry.
Awesome.
You.
I'm straight.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay. I'd say that's the biggest reason.
Sure, you're straight. Anyway.
Biggest reason. But you would date Casey Anthony second. You don't fuck Matt.
Yeah, for real. But like, sure. Anyway, the movie. You picked the movie this week.
I picked Vice.
Yeah.
With Christian Bale.
Yes.
Amy Adams. I forgot that. Right, Amy Adams?
Yes. And Steve Carell.
Steve Carell, the best casting of that year.
Oh, Steve Carell is the best part of that movie.
I was losing my mind in the theater because at the very beginning when he's like, oh, we got planes in the air on this. I'm like, is that Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Did they make Steve Carell Rumsfeld?
I did not like this movie nearly at all. And I love Steve Carell.
You didn't
in this
like
movie.
The movie? Why
not even kind of. It's one of the least subtle things I've ever seen. And I'm not saying you need subtlety in art, but it treats the audience like it's stupid. And I don't like that. Even. I know you do. I don't like that at all.
Well, not necessarily that treats the audience stupid, but I think because the big thing about Dick Cheney is that I would say the average American knows very little about him.
Sure. I would say the average American knows that he's an evil, evil man. I think that's the extent of that he's an evil man and that he shot a dude.
And I think that, like,
I think those are the two things people would know.
That like, there is virtue, or a virtue, not virtue, as in the concept of virtue.
Sure.
Of beating the audience over the head with, like, this is that. That, like, look, like, he's this huge critical figure that led to so much terrible things.
Sure.
And we all need to be, I don't think it's so much like the beating's coming from you're stupid and I want to beat you with it so much as you are ignorant of this and I need you to understand how bad he is. Like, it's a hit piece is what it is. Because I guess it is kind of treating the art stupid, but I've always viewed it more as a hit piece where it's just a very blatant attack on Dick Cheney. It's a person who's like, hates Dick Cheney being like, I'm going to fucking full barrel shotgun both of them into this guy repeatedly, and you can watch. But it's and then it was like taken out of theaters like a week after it came out.
Yeah, sure. I don't.
It's brutal towards him. It is possibly the most, because there's a lot of movies where they're like, oh, this guy's bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is by far the movie I think that takes the harshest view of its subject
that we've watched so far
that I've seen.
I think All That Jazz takes a harsher view of Bob Fosse.
That's himself. I'm saying like from one person to another person.
Oh, sure. I don't know if that I've ever seen, but that we've seen for this show, sure.
Like the Margaret Thatcher one's kind of like, oh, she's kind of bad, but she also did this, and this one is just like, it's the Eric Andre thing where it like shoots the entire clip, reloads it, keeps shooting. It's,
yeah,
it's brutal.
Yeah.
Also, an incredible performance by Christian Bale and Sam Rockwell. But Sam, I love Sam Rockwell. And
see,
everything.
It's Sam Rockwell's fine. Sam Rockwell is doing Dana Carvey's Bush as opposed to actually doing Bush. And he's a cartoon character, and it's whatever.
Which I think works as a film from the perspective of Dick Cheney, which it is.
Dick Cheney views himself as a cartoon character. It's just, I don't know.
It has all my favorite things in it. It has the a fake ending. I love a fake ending.
I don't love a fake ending 40 minutes into my 2.5 hour movie.
A fourth wall break.
Mm-hmm.
I love a guy who looks like Matt Damon. And who I thought was Matt Damon for like half the movie.
Oh, Matt Damon.
Is that Matt Damon?
No, it's not Matt Damon. Kurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Breaking Bad, and
oh, Matt. Okay,
people
Matt.
Say he looks like.
Yeah, the whole like half the movie, I was like, is that Matt Damon?
No, it's not. It's oh my god.
Well, I know it's not.
It's Jesse something.
I looked it up after the movie, but like I was like, it took me halfway through the movie to be like, that's not Matt Damon, but it looks a lot like Matt Damon.
Yes, he looks like Matt Damon. Yeah, Jesse Plemons.
I like a narrative device like that. I love a narrator device. There's a lot I like about this movie cinematically.
I don't like half this movie cinematically. Like, I think that it makes too many choices, and I think stick to like three or four of them. I think that this movie can't quite... I don't think this movie nails its tone even slightly. It can't decide whether it wants to be a comedy or a like political drama or a like a hit piece. And it does this weird tap dance of all three. And
so I was trying to find the Rotten Tomatoes for this. And there's a core question. What's the movie Vice about?
Yeah, Dick Cheney.
Yeah, Dick Cheney? I don't understand the question.
Yeah, they want to know what the movie's
about. They saw
about.
The movie. They watched the movie and they're like, what is it about?
No, that, I mean, sure.
It's a silly question.
It's about Dick Cheney. That's
it. That's just the answer.
It's just, it's about Dick Cheney. It's about Dick Cheney and how Dick Cheney is an evil man. By the way, Dick Cheney is an evil man. Did I tell you Dick Cheney is an evil man? Don't ever forget that Dick Cheney is an evil man, because I'm going to remind you every second for this 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah.
Also, the first hour and 40 minutes are so slow and boring.
Yeah, great.
The last 40 minutes is actually like pretty good. Once the movie, once the movie decides that it wants to have a plot and focused on a singular moment, perfect.
Well, the plot's his life. It's following his like slow rise to power.
Okay. The movie should be about, first off, the his rise to power should be about 30 to 40 minutes. The movie should be about the destruction he did during 9/11. And that's really only the last 40 minutes of this movie. Like, I would much rather have watched a political drama about the undoing than watching a man portray a cartoon character of an evil man for an hour and a half.
That's great.
It's not.
It's great.
It's so boring. It's boring and condescending. Also, I agree with Adam McKay. I think that's the thing here, is that Adam McKay is not the person to do this. That maybe the guy who made Anchorman and Step Brothers, movies I love. Movies I love so deeply, not subtle movies even quietly. I don't think that he should be the one to write the satirical political drama, or have a co-writer who knows how to write a political satirical drama. Like, I don't know.
This movie was a huge hit for the Dirtbag Left when it came out.
Okay.
Because that was 2018 was a good year for that. But no, it was huge on like the far left. I wonder if that's just if what we're seeing here is that you're not the target audience for it. Because I do think that there is a subsect of the left who are much meaner than you are. And I think this movie's made for meaner people. Like, it's a mean movie.
It's mean, but it's, like, basic and boring. Like, you can be... Death of Stalin is a mean movie, but it's also, like, entertaining and, like, nails its tone better than this movie does. I also think Death of Stalin doesn't totally nail its tone, but it nails it better than this movie does. In the Loop is a mean political satire.
It's a hit piece where you watch... It's a hit piece calling someone a piece of shit, and you're supposed to laugh at him.
Okay,
and I think it nails that tone.
I don't think so.
As you said, piece of shit, piece of shit, piece of shit, and there's good comedy bits.
I didn't think this. Outside of him being a cartoon character, I didn't think that anything was particularly funny. Like, I don't get what the... Other than that Dick Cheney is a joke, I don't get what the joke is. And if the joke is that Dick Cheney is a joke, I don't need to watch a 2.5 hour movie of that.
It's the dark comedy of it all. That impulse to find humor in how bad things are.
Sure, that's gallows humor, but, like... if you like this thing, I'm happy. I'm not here to yuck your yum. It's a yuck for me.
I want a movie made by this guy, and I wanted it to be a sequel to... what was the name of the movie? I liked it. The Apprentice? Was that the Sebastian Stan?
Oh, sure. I didn't watch that. I didn't care.
He does a good job. It's good.
We'll see.
So I don't even want the whole movie. All I want is the cheeseburger, the big... fast food banquet scene. I just want Sebastian Stan delivering that to me.
See, I don't... What's the point in that, then? Like...
It's fucking hilarious.
But it's not... It's watching a cartoon character... A human cartoon character be a human cartoon character while everything is burning down isn't funny to me.
Everything's burning around. It's the most powerful man in the world, and he's serving a bunch of college students who've reached the... Or college students, high school students, not adult professional players who've reached the peak of their amateur career, and they're getting invited to the White House to participate in this big banquet, which is supposed to be this big event, and it's fucking Wendy's.
Okay.
It's funny as shit.
That's not funny. That's
funny as shit.
No, that's not. That's just a thing. Like, I don't know. This movie talks down to its audience, or at least it feels like it's talking down to its audience to me. I think it thinks the audience is dumb, and Adam McKay is so smart for knowing Dick Cheney is evil as if Dick Cheney being evil isn't common knowledge. Like, I
think the movie's aging better in that regard. I think that's become less common knowledge. The general political understanding of the American citizen has been dropping ever since that movie came out. Just look at, like, what is it? Now they're saying the like, weather isn't real.
What?
So there's this thing going, or it's starting to pick up a lot of steam after the Texas floods, but that weather isn't real. There's, like, people saying they don't remember there being clouds when they were children. This one guy broke into a state like Idaho. Like, a state that's, like, you know, like, further out west. There's not a lot going on there. Certainly not where one would keep a weather controlling device. And they broke into, like, the local news station, broke through a chain link fence, the most security you want for a weather controlling device, and, like, destroyed the weather radar because they said it was causing weather and all the floods. So that's, like, the new thing that's starting to rise up in the broader consciousness of the human. I'm not saying everyone believes it, obviously, but that's starting to pick up a lot of steam, is that weather is made by the government and there weren't clouds when these people were children. Which is wild because there's, like, paintings. That's the one thing I don't get. Like, besides the fact that, like, this also says that obviously there's been weather forever, but, like, there's, like, pictures of clouds when you were a kid. What do you mean there weren't clouds? I don't know if that's, like, what's self-gaslighting called?
Self-gaslighting's fine. Like,
yeah,
we
self-gaslighting.
Know.
Yeah. But just the idea of, like, getting really angry towards a weather station because when you were a kid there weren't clouds? I don't know. I think that's funny. And I wonder if that's just, this movie was made for a very specific type of audience who finds things like that funny.
Maybe, because that's not funny to me. That's sad.
Oh, it's so funny. It's a chain link fence. Like, yeah, they're going to keep the big weather controlling machine and a fucking, like, Idaho news station behind a chain link fence. You could just walk right into it, open it up. There wasn't even a lock on the breaker box. Like, that's what's controlling the weather.
I understand how someone can derive humor from that. I get nothing from that. And, like, I don't know. If this movie works for you, then this movie works for you. Like, this is truly a thing where it's like, I don't know. If you like being told this, if you like being told the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, like, you can get more of out of this than I did. Like, I don't care. Like, not that I don't care. Dick Cheney's an evil man, and I care very deeply that Dick Cheney is an evil man, and, like, it's whatever. But the first, okay, I've said earlier, the first hour and a half of this movie is just not worth watching. The first hour and a half of this movie should be 15 minutes. No, it should be like 25 minutes. This movie should be about post 9/11. Like, that's when he had the most power. That's when he had, like, did the most of everything. It's the most entertaining part of this movie. Like, when it's a movie. When this movie is a movie, it's actually pretty okay. Adam McKay is a competent filmmaker. But when this movie treats the audience like it's stupid, I don't care. Like, I'm gonna disengage because, like, I get what it's saying.
I remember when I saw
get to the point.
When I first saw this movie, I never got that. I thought they were being, like, again, like, unloading balls to the wall into Dick Cheney. I never got the impression it thought the audience was stupid.
Okay.
I never walked out saying, oh, he thinks the American people is an idiot.
See, that's what I get the entire, that he thinks that the audience that watches this movie is stupid.
I saw this with,
or that there's gonna be, like,
saw this with Brandon.
Oh, okay. I mean, sure, it makes sense. There's gonna be a small subsect that are going to deeply agree with him, and then everyone else is stupid. Like, that's the tone that I feel like this movie got, that this movie, like, portrays. I also don't think this movie nails its tone, even kind of. I think it can't decide what it wants to be, and it tries to be, like, four different things, and it doesn't do any of them particularly well. I think there are parts of this movie visually that make no sense, but also, like, there are parts of this movie that you can cut entirely and the movie's the same. Like, the when Dick Cheney shot the dude and then the man apologized on TV, you can cut that out and you get that part of the movie's pointless. And I mean literally pointless. Like, you can remove it and you still understand how evil Dick Cheney is. Like, that movie doesn't make him, that part of the movie doesn't make him more evil. Like,
yeah, but it's the absurdity of the situation. That's
sure, but like, it's not, I don't know. I think if, I don't know, I think what I wanted out of this, if it's going to be a hit piece, I want it to be a concise hit piece. And it's not. It's a very meandery hit piece.
This person says, all of Adam McKay's movies feel like they're talking down to the audience, patronizing, pandering, oversimplifying. He only gives an example in The Big Short, though.
I've also heard that about The Big Short and Don't Look Up. I've heard that both of those also talk down to its audience. But, like, I don't know. I haven't seen Step Brothers in a while, and I just recently saw Anchorman.
How would Step Brothers talk down to the audience?
What?
That's what I'm wondering. How would Step Brothers talk down to the audience?
No, it's just it's a lowest common denominator comedy. No, but, like, Big Short and Vice.
Yeah, those are saying something, so they could talk down. Like, how's Anchorman going to talk down to the audience?
Okay, I think Anchorman does a better job of making the political point that this movie's trying to make. Maybe less specific, but better at making the political point that this movie's trying to make about, like, absolute power corrupting and just absolute narcissism being, like, funny to watch. I know Adam McKay can do this. I just don't think that he could. I don't even know that he can't do it in the tone that he did. I just don't think he does it in the tone that he, like, I don't know. I know what I'm trying to say.
You can take it down. Time's not real in this podcast. Sometimes we record for 5 hours and then we can only release two. take your time. Compose your thoughts.
No, I've gotten the bulk of my argument out. You just disagree with the bulk of my argument. Like, yeah. And that's fine. Like, I think this is a wonderful movie for a discussion piece. Like, I think the fact that both of us can walk away from this movie, both of us can go into this movie with the same knowledge, and both of us can walk out of this movie with the completely different takeaways, is fascinating. Like, I'm not saying this movie shouldn't exist. This movie should exist. I think cut 45 minutes out of this movie, easy. But, like, as a statement, it makes its point 20 minutes in, and then makes you sit through 2 hours of it making the same point over and over and over again. Which is basically what I'm doing. That's kind of what this, I mean, that's kind of what we're doing with this podcast right now, is like,
I mean, I like a nice piece of media that disagrees with something I disagree with, then attacks it viciously. Like, I want the point made early on so we can just settle into the shitting on it.
Okay.
Like, is that politically it's not that you disagree with this movie politically, it's the dressing on that politics, that there is a form of, like, people who believe what you do, but they're much more into, like, I want to see terrible shit and just laugh at it for the 2 hours.
I'm also not against that. I don't know.
Because, like, the same people, like as we said earlier where you disagreed, the same people I know who loved this movie were fucking, like, losing their minds over the cheeseburger banquet. Like, both of these were supremely enjoyable to us.
See, I don't know. Then please explain that to me. Like, explain to me the funny in that. I understand how you find it funny. Like, don't explain why it's funny.
I'll explain to you my thought process and why I think it's funny.
Yes, please.
I'm worried it's going to end up like therapy, where she asked me to explain, like, recently she's like, how do you keep sane? And then it was like, because I just feel like a lot of times in therapy, I don't have deeper reasoning. I just state the thing, but I'll try.
Okay, please, yeah.
Everything's shit.
Yes.
Right? It's setting. Everything's shit.
Yes.
That's the time frame. The setting. The White House.
Sure.
The seat of the most powerful country in America. Our actors, kids at the top of their game. This will probably be the greatest day of their lives. Meeting the most powerful man for a banquet. This is a tradition of, it's a tradition, not seen as sacred, but it has a kind of, like, dressing of, like, this, it's this honor tradition of the presence.
There is value to the event. Yes.
They come in. There's McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
And, like, if it was just McDonald's, right? I'd be like, that's fine. There's Burger King as well. There are options of fast food, because he was sitting there and thinking, what if they don't like McDonald's? What if they're Burger King people? I'm a McDonald's guy, but I like Burger King as well. Let's get some Burger King. Like, he put thought into this. Everything is put on, like, the silver platters. The fine silver that Abraham Lincoln used is now supporting, like, like, it's not even like, oh, we just threw it on a table. Like, there was time and effort put into making this display, and he is so proud of it. He takes that picture where he's like,
See, that thought process makes sense as funny. I don't find it as funny as you do. I am smiling. I know, like, you can't see, like, it, but I, like, am smiling. Sure.
And it really is on this Burger King, too. Like, I was losing, and I'm looking at the food. I'm like, he got two types. Like, he could have just gone to McDonald's and said, we're going to serve him fast food. So he just gets like, but he's like, there's got to be options. Like, he was like, what if they want a Whopper? I can't let these boys down. And then he's like, I get the best for the big, beautiful boys is what he called them. He called them his big, beautiful boys. I want the scene where it's him setting this up.
Sure.
And he's going around and he's like really into it. And he's like really upset. Like, sure. Like, they didn't, he's like, you have to go out and get some Burger King. We can't just have McDonald's. You have to go get some Burger King. They need options. They fucking won the big game, for Christ's sake.
I will say, as much as I am dogging on the fact that all of them are playing cartoons, outside of Sam Rockwell, who's just doing Dana Carvey, like, everyone is very well. Steve Carell is the standout.
Which I think would be...
Steve Carell is perfect.
I think would be a bigger issue if Bush was in this more.
Okay. I think he's in it too. Like, I think he's in it too much. We're having the same thing. Yeah. It's just he has crossed my line before he crosses yours. But okay.
I mean, just... And, like, the makeup effects, I guess, is what you call them.
Didn't this win the Oscar for best makeup?
Yeah.
Because, the makeup in this movie is fantastic.
Like, he's... Like, towards the end of that movie, I stopped seeing Christian Bale, like... Fuck, like, in the beginning, you know, we've talked about how, like, I recognize actors in movies. Towards the end of it, like, I stopped, because he, not to say that I was seeing Dick Cheney, but they did such a good job of not making him look like Christian Bale.
Him in the hospital, when he's dying, that, like, not final scene, but what we think is going to be, like, his final moment alive, is the makeup on that is, that alone won at the Oscar.
Yeah, no, it's
Steve Carell alone won this movie Oscar for best makeup. The makeup department carries this movie.
It's a very well casted movie.
It's fine. Yeah, it's, yes, I think everyone in it is good. Arnaldo Iannucci is much, see, I want to see his version of this, because I think he would, if he Death of Stalin or in the looped this movie, like, it had a consistent voice, I would have way fewer issues with all of the performances, which everyone's doing fine. I just think they're being cartoon characters, except for Steve Carell, who's the only semi-real person in this movie, or the only person who feels like a real person. Everyone else feels like they're Bugs Bunny, and, like...
I feel like that's not too... Like, I feel a lot of these... I mean, there is a lot of cartoonishness in the actual people. Like, the one... Because talking about cartoonish George Bush, I'm not saying everything he did is true to life. But, I mean, there is that very famous and very funny, in my opinion, a clip of him where he's talking about the war. And he's like, now watch me do this drive. And then he just hits the golf ball.
Yes.
Like, these people were kind of cartoonish. And, I mean, it's continued. Trump is a cartoonish person.
Yes, 100%. See, I think portraying Trump as a cartoon when he's already a cartoon is...
Like, if you do a Ted Cruz movie, right?
Sure.
You put Buttercow in, people are going to think that's insane. Like, these people are just these kind of ridiculous. I mean, there's a reason why Kamala's highest point polling in the last election was when they were just like, these people are weird. Because then you take a look at them and you go, they're cartoonishly weird people. Less so back then, but they were still, I mean, famously Bush was like a cartoonish president.
Yeah, I mean, Lincoln Cocaine Cowboy.
Yeah, there's a Lincoln Park song about it.
Sure. I think it's, I mean, it's the same, it's very similar to what I have, my issue with a lot of late night TV. And I understand that this isn't a controversial take. But I think portraying a cartoon character as a cartoon character while the world is burning. I think commenting on the world burning while the world is burning without saying anything else, I don't find much value in commenting on how everything sucks without doing something about it. This doesn't quite fall into the same category as, like, a Trump biopic would, but I think it's close. I think on some level, some things can't be satirized, or at least not satirized well, because at some point, showing us the thing isn't like, I'll use Trump as an example. Trump is a cartoon character to the point where a lot of people, like, when they try and satirize him, try and say ridiculous things, but he has said those things. And so it's not effective satire if you're just giving us the thing. It's not effective satire if it's not, like, making the other side uncomfortable. Or, like, the thing you're satiring uncomfortable. And I don't think that...
I don't think, under that definition, I don't think that satire can exist for right now.
Yeah, sure. I right now, I am fully willing to believe that. I don't think good satire...
When was the last time the right was able to be made to feel uncomfortable? 9/11?
I think Trump being elected the first time kind of killed satire of the right wing. Because,
again,
they went from
under the definition,
like,
of satire, making them feel uncomfortable. Like, I don't think even the best satire of the Warren Terriers made them feel uncomfortable. It's cathartic for everyone on the left, but I don't think it affected the right in their own headspace.
See, I think it affected the right. I don't think it affected Dick Cheney. I think on some level, Dick Cheney is a megamaniacal narcissist, in that I don't think really anything would affect him. I'm not even saying you necessarily need to make Dick Cheney himself feel uncomfortable, but I do think that you need to intelligently make the right wing feel uncomfortable. And I think calling them stupid over and over and over again isn't doing that.
You say that, but, like, the most effective the Kamala campaign was when they all started calling, the only time that Kamala started soaring in the polls and the Trump's camp started faltering was when they were just like, hey, you're weird. Like, they're weird. Like, the right didn't know what to fucking do to that. Was, like, freaking the fuck out and had no response to that. And the only reason it stopped is because the Democrats were like, this is uncivil and below us. This isn't dignified. But, like, that was the strongest the Kamala campaign was politically, was when their big push was, we're just going to point at the right and call them weird. Like, how fucking weird they are. That is what hits them, if anything. Like, if anything hits the right, it's not, like, trying to, like, figure out an intelligent way to, like, satire their beliefs. It's just kind of pointing at them and saying, like, they're dumb or weird. That's the only thing they don't know how to respond to. I don't know if it's because, I mean, a lot of their worldview is more, I can say, childlike, but more simplified than that. It's very, like, tribalistic in their views. But, like, just doing a value judgment like that is the only thing that really affects them. Like, you could satire things Trump's doing, right? You could make a scathing satire about...
See, I don't think you can.
I'm saying you could. Like, in a hypothetical, you could.
Sure.
Of, like, the burger thing, whatever. Something he did recently. Or Covfefe, right? That's not going to affect him nearly as much as a unified front of just, like, calling him dumb or weird. Like, that's what's going to drive him nuts. Or talking about Epstein, who's also not a pedophile anymore.
Oh, he's not?
No, he was falsely put up by Biden.
But wasn't he arrested and killed himself under the Trump administration?
No, they're saying he didn't kill himself. And also, all the Epstein files were created during the Biden administration.
No, they weren't. He was literally arrested kill himself, but killed himself, quote unquote, in 2019.
I read the post by Trump where Biden made up all those documents himself, if they existed, and then showed the footage where it's missing a minute of a footage outside of a cell that isn't even his. To prove that he didn't kill himself.
Okay.
You can see the timestamp. There's like a hard, there's like a little cut. Like, you can maybe not see the cut if you're not used to, like, cut the film, but it's pretty noticeable. But you can see, like, you can tell that there's a minute missing. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure the timestamp, like, jumps ahead. And he's like, he didn't kill himself.
But, okay, whatever. Whatever,
like,
dude.
I'm surprised they didn't do it. What are those talking head things called where they take a picture of someone? And they make him talk, and it's like a little, like, puppet.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like it's the same equivalent of them releasing one of Epstein, like, I didn't kill myself. And they're like, see, he said it. Like, it's just, it's missing a minute. And they're not, and they're, I think someone said, it's missing a minute. He's like, no, it's not.
Things are shit.
And he said to stop. Stop bringing it up because the FBI director is very busy and he's a lot of things to deal with, like dealing with the voter fraud in the 2016 and 2020 election, and that that it's been stressing him out so much he has to take a mental health day.
So this movie doesn't know visually. This movie is like the definition of throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. And I don't think most of it sticks, but you can disagree. There are a couple visuals here that I think are just downright stupid and ugly. I think the cuckoo clock as the EKG is stupid and pointless. Like That's dumb, and it's not saying anything visually. It's just like, ooh, he thought this was cool, but it's not saying anything.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm unironically a huge fan of people just doing things because I think it's cool. Like, I don't think it should be the whole thing, but like, if you just want to put in a little bit in your movie and you just think it's cool, don't gotta mean shit to me. If you think it's cool, I'm sensing that. Hell yeah, dude.
Oh no, things suck. This movie didn't speak to me the way it speaks to Matthew.
Yeah, this
Dick
movie
Cheney
rocks.
It's fine. It's I don't like it. It's like a 3 out of 10 for me. Dick Cheney's evil. Things are bad. Do you have any final thoughts?
I think that, you know, things are pretty bad. And sure. You should try to find joy in whatever you can, you know, because like, yeah, you got to go out there and you got to do things to try to make it better. But don't fucking go insane. You got to have a thing that makes you laugh.
100%. Joy is an act of resistance. I understand. I think it's just the fact that not engaging is the wrong word, but like dunking on right-wing people isn't what I bring enjoyment out of.
Oh, I love
we dunking. we just get enjoyment differently.
I got blocked on so many Twitters from dunking on people.
Yeah.
Shout outs to my girl Caitlin Bennett.
I know.
Miss you, baby. Bring me up. We can go on like a double date, you and Casey Anthony.
Do we want to end on that? Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. You can find us on Instagram at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. That's not true at all. That's our Gmail. If you want to send us fan fictions, if you want to send us some, I'll open it. Here's a $10 one. I've been offering $5 X readers. Here's a $10 X read opportunity. Make that bank. That's almost half a DoorDash. If you want to send in some Matthew X Casey Anthony reader, if it's good, it doesn't got to be great. If it's not bad, I will send you $10.
You can.
Okay. I will send you $15 if Harrison's in it and he's not having a good time. You can find me at Midwest_magician if you want to see my little plastic men, or if you want to forward my information to Casey Anthony, be a wingman. That'd be great. And you can find us on our YouTube if you want to listen to our episodes without Brandon at Two Men and a Movie Podcast.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Lemonade at harrisonpoole.com. HARRISONPOOLEDOTCOM.
I remember when you were like, I'm going to change it so it's easier for people.
It actually is easier for
is
people.
It?
Yes. The moment I say harrisonpoole.com spell dot, like, it makes sense. I'm just doing this for this podcast, okay. Spelling it all out so that it's people can just like they know exactly what to look up. But that's harrisonpoole.com. You can follow me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Make sure you listen to his bands Tonight with Vince and Natural Health. Tune in next week. It's our 1 year. It's our 1 year anniversary special.
We're giving each other gifts of paper.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
1 year?
I think so. We're doing Jennifer's Body. We're doing the lost episode,
yeah,
guys.
The episode
we're re-recording
our best episode that got lost.
I hope so.
The biggest tragedy. Fuck 9/11. The biggest tragedy of this country is us losing Jennifer's Body.
Truly, but don't worry. Next week it'll be back. Thank you guys so much for listening. Book me on shows. Pay me to do stand up, please. Anyway, thank you for listening. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.